B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper!
And Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper!
All right, welcome in, Gasper and Murray. And no, it is not Gasper and Murray. It is, in fact, just some random people, right? If they're the varsity.
Right.
If they're the varsity, I think we're freshman team, maybe the eighth grade team that got called up.
Wait, you got to tell the story why. Don't be ashamed. Just tell it.
Look, the bottom line is both of us are here right now.
Yes, we are.
You know,
yes, we
so
are.
That's the important thing. Yep. It's Tim McCone and Leroy Irvin. First show we've done together, man. I'm excited about this.
I'm excited about it, too. Like, literally our first time having a face-to-face, being 6 feet apart and being able to talk. But it's what, man, I already can tell you're a good person. I hope I'm a good person. I believe I am. So we're going to have a good time, period.
No, I think so, too. We got this big piece of glass in between us, too. So we're ready to go.
Oh, man, yes.
I'll tell you what, man. Mm-hmm. Great day to be on the radio, too, because the Boston Celtics last night.
Yes, sir.
That's the first time I've really been excited about sports. I don't want to get ahead of myself, say that they're going to hang Banner 18 after blowing out the Raptors. I did do some research last night. Currently 24 duck boats. In the fleet in Boston. So there's enough to have a spatially distanced parade if the Boston Celtics do, in fact, win this championship. Because I'll tell you what, man. The way they looked last night, that was unbelievable.
Yeah,
unbelievable
they
game.
They look excellent. Excellent. It was the only other game, I'm trying to remember, was it who did they play first? Was it it was the Bucks. Then it was the Blazers.
Yeah.
No, they looked good last night. Last night was the game that they looked really, really good. And at the end of the day, this is something that I hope that they can keep up, because they can. And I told you earlier outside before we came in, I do have some problems with the team, but I'm not going to say it right now. I'll keep it till later.
Yeah.
But last night, it showed you, they are capable of being that team.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt. 617-779-0985. It's Gasper and Murray, Tim McCone, Leroy Irvin in for Gasper and Murray. A lot of Celtics stuff we're going to get to today. Some Pat stuff as well. We're still going to do five questions to end this show. I'm excited about that as well. But we're going to start off with this Celtics win last night. I'll tell you what, the thing that stands out to me right now more than anything, and I feel like we spent all season talking about, if Jason Tatum makes the leap and turns into that top 15 guy, the Celtics ceiling is going to be really, really high, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, before the bubble and quarantine and all that stuff, it seemed like he was making that leap. I think one of the undersold things about this team is the progression of Jaylen Brown.
Yep, absolutely.
Right? Like, this is a guy that came in, and I'll be honest, when Ainge took him with the third pick, I was devastated. I wanted either Chris Dunn or Jamal Murray, but clearly Ainge was right. And just the continued progression.
Yes.
And to the point that he's gotten now and the player that he's become, unbelievable. Just consistent. I think it's, what, B-Rob, like 10 of the last 11 games, I think he's had over 20 points or something like that.
Yep, that's right.
Just the consistency from Brown and the player he's turned into has really stood out to me. And, you know, again, we keep talking about Tatum, but just Jaylen Brown and the player he's become, unbelievable.
I know this is crazy, some people. I'm not saying that they are or could be on the Jordan Pippen level, but in my mind, just for in today's game, in this generation, I looked at him like, you know, possibly this could be the Jordan and Pippen of today's game. Excellent play. Jaylen Brown, I think we got to give him credit for this. He has supreme confidence.
Yeah.
And I love that. And sometimes I do think it can get to his head. But when it comes to his game, oh, man, he's excelling. And I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. This guy is phenomenal. I love it.
Well, when you talk about Jordan and Pippen, right, and just kind of the wings, I think that's obviously the strength of this team, right? When you're talking about Tatum, Brown, and even Gordon Hayward, and you look at last night and kind of the matchups with the Raptors, who were a really good team, or probably the hottest team in the bubble up until last night, a really well-coached team, and they don't necessarily have that that go-to guy like a Kawhi Leonard. I know Kyle Lowry is obviously awesome, and Van Vliet's really taken a step forward. I was always a Ron Baker guy at Wichita State, not a Van Vliet guy, but still, Van Vliet's turned into the better pro.
Right.
That's a really, really good team and really well coached, and they just absolutely dismantled them last night. And I think a big part of it is when you've got those three wings playing really well together, to your point, Celtics are going to be a really, really hard team to beat. They're going to be a really hard team to beat, and it's a really tough matchup for teams when you have three athletic wings like that that are playing really high-level basketball.
Yeah, and then even on the defensive side, they deserve a lot
of credit,
too.
It's a great point, too. Marcus Smart, unbelievable.
Marcus Smart. I used to be nervous when he had the ball in his hand.
I'm still nervous when he shoots threes, by the way. If we could limit those, that would be great, but still.
Really?
I
used to sit up, my stomach would get tight, and I'm, you know, clenching and grinding my teeth when he would have the ball. But now, I'm like, man, his maturity is even showing on the court. So I can just sit back and I relax. I don't mind if he throws up a three. He's hitting them, 42% or something like that? So I'm good with him, too. The team overall is just showing a lot of maturity. And, again, I hope it will continue. I hope. I'm not sure, but I hope it will continue.
I was impressed by the wings last night. Like I said, Gordon Hayward, there was a play in the fourth quarter, and it was when Serge Ibaka got hit and went down. But just the aggressiveness that you saw from Gordon Hayward to get to the basket on that play, I mean, I think if Gordon Hayward is playing like that too, and obviously you bring him in as a max guy, you know, he breaks his ankle 6 minutes in, and just it's unbelievable that he's been on this team now for 3 years, right? Because it doesn't feel like it. It feels like just yesterday. But if he's playing the way he did and really the way that he has since this restart happened, that's just another aspect of this team that – I just look at the matchups. You got Kemba Walker, who the knees held up so far with the minutes restriction. He played well last night again, too. If you got a four-time All-Star point guard, these three wings, and Tice, I don't think there's a lot of teams that can match up with you. And I think in the Eastern Conference, you're right there. And I think last night just kind of cemented that. I was really nervous because I thought that was a big measuring stick game. And I'd be hypocritical if I came in today and said, oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And that was a big win.
It was.
And up 40 at one point in the second half. Like, that was a statement win by the Celtics.
I saw a lot of people say, well, again, they don't have Kawhi. Like, look, that was last season. Toronto is the number two seed. Defensively, they are phenomenal. Even though the Celtics outplayed them, you still have to give Toronto credit for the defense they played last night. If you watch, the Celtics were just better. But they were switching. They were moving. They were still quick. And the Celtics just outdid them. That says a lot. That says a lot.
So where do you have the Celtics right now? You're coming off of this win, expectations-wise, because I'll be honest, going into last night, I wasn't sure if I necessarily put them in that upper echelon with the Bucks and the Raptors in the Eastern Conference, right? I thought they were you know, a really good team, but I didn't necessarily know if they were actually capable of coming out of the East. After that win last night, and again, you don't want to get ahead of yourself with that, you know, just one win, but certainly from a talent perspective, they have enough talent to compete with the Torontos and the Bucks. And if everything's clicking, everything's playing the way that it was last night, I think that just kind of reemphasizes it. And so, yeah, I have the Celtics in that mix, and I think that they actually can come out of the East now.
I have them in the mix.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they're going to come out of the East.
Okay.
And it's because I have three issues with the team.
All right.
Number one.
You want to save them for next segment?
Oh, yeah, I'll save it for next. Oh, that's great. I love the way you did that.
Little
tease? Yes.
Little tease? All right, like I said, there we go. We have a lot to get to when it comes to the Celtics. Obviously, we got the Celtics Hour coming up next hour, too, but I thought last night was such a statement win that we had to start there, too. So we'll get into some of that. 617-779-0985. I was also on Felger and Maz last night with Felger and Beadle, and we spent the majority of the time talking about Cam Newton, his first official press conference there in a Patriots uniform. His thoughts, the QB competition, is it actually a competition? So we'll talk about that coming up too. And is Cam Newton actually 100% coming in this year? I have kind of a conspiracy theory when it comes to that I'll float by you. And again, five questions coming up too, which I'm very excited about. So it's McCone and Leroy Irvin in for Gasper Murray on this Saturday morning. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Going to continue the Celtics talk and get to some of your phone calls coming up next.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dalen Johnson is going to take a shot because why not? He'll knock down a three that will give us the final margin. The Raptors score 31 points in the final 6 minutes of garbage time to get us a very misleading final. The Celtics, if they wanted to make a statement, they made one. They blow out the Toronto Raptors tonight and hand them their first loss since March the 1st. The final score, Boston 122, Toronto 100.
All right, Sean Grandy on the call. Where were they last night, B-Rob? Do we know? Were they actually at the Garden?
At
the Garden. There you go. So impressive locker win room for the Celtics. I love it. Any pizza delivered to Max there? Love that.
I would hope so. By,
right? Unbelievable. The only person that could actually pull off a move like that, get a pizza delivered into what was supposed to be a secure bubble, is Cedric Maxwell. It's Tim McCone, Leroy Irvin of Hot 96.9 fame, in for Gasper Murray on this Saturday morning. Starting off, talking Celtics after that really, really impressive win by the Seas last night over the Raptors. In typical 98.5 fashion, there were some issues or still some concerns for the Celtics that Leroy has. So we'll dive into those. You said you got three things that kind of still worry you about the Celtics even coming off that win last night. So I wanted to just touch on those.
I got three.
Okay.
And I like to start off by saying this. I play 2K, which is a video game.
Yeah.
And it's funny when you play.
See, I mean, you're essentially a head coach in the NBA.
Kind of. Because I use the Celtics. I'm in a season. I play full 12-minute quarters.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's funny how a lot of the things you see in the game, it ends up happening in real life. It's crazy. But anyways, the three things that I'm concerned about, bench play. I know they looked great last night. They really, really did. But I'm concerned, and I'm wondering if they can stay consistent. You know, the second thing, when we go up against teams with bigs, take like Giannis, Lopez with them.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Sixers. We seem to have an issue, especially if they can put two bigs on the floor at the same time.
No.
We seem to just always, you know, run into trouble. But my main problem with the team is they're good. And what I mean by that is that they're good, they know it, they're young, and sometimes they think they can just turn it on when the time is right.
Yep.
How come we haven't seen the same team that showed up last night in some of the previous games? It was almost as if they know Toronto is that team, and we're going to show them tonight what we're capable of once the playoffs come around. That's cool, that's great. Just give it to me every single night.
Well, so it's like kind of a team version of what Rondo used to do, right? So when if they're in a national game or there's bright lights, Rondo goes off and looks like the best player on the court sometimes.
What Rondo was accused of doing. I'm not saying he did it.
Tuesday night game against the Grizzlies in Memphis where you're like, is he really paying attention?
To some degree. Like, just give it to me every single night. Give me the energy. Show me what you can do on defense. Why have the ball skipping around all last night, and then there are some games where guys want to play hero ball? It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So when it comes to the bench, I'm actually kind of with you. I think they are probably missing. And B-Rob, I would love to get your opinion on this stuff too. It's 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. I would love to get your thoughts on this win over the Raptors too. When it comes to the bench, I'm with you. I feel like another shooter off the bench would be huge for this team moving forward. And sometimes it seems like they're maybe that guy short. When it comes to the big, so they asked me, and Beadle asked me yesterday on Felger and Maz about Robert Williams, and I was pretty dismissive of him. And I said, it's like a late first round pick that just doesn't seem like he's ever going to figure it out, and there's always going to be some sort of issue. And then, of course, you know, he looks like the best player they've ever drafted last night coming off of the bench. So that kind of tells you my timing with that. But the big thing is going to be an issue. The Sixers, even with the Ben Simmons thing, do make me a little nervous in terms of a matchup. The consistency thing when we get to the postseason, I'm not necessarily as worried too, because I look at kind of this core team and this team going back to 2 years ago, not last year, when Kyrie Irving, I don't know if you know this about me, but I throw everything that went wrong last year with the Boston Celtics on Kyrie Irving and kind of the leadership that he brought to that team last year, because I just think that, you know, you look at the young guys taking a step back when 2 years ago they're, you know, a fourth quarter away from going to the finals, and you're talking about a rookie Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and you think adding Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving to that mix, they're just going to be unbelievable.
Right, take it to the next level.
And it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
And I think Kyrie Irving was a big part of that. And then you see he leaves, and now all of a sudden Tatum and Brown take that step that you thought they were going to. But this year, I think with Tatum and Brown and the experience that they have, I think they're going to show up when it matters in the postseason. I don't think you're going to get a performance like you did last year against the Bucks when, you know, they win that game one, and then after that game two, they just felt like they just kind of totally shut it down. But I'm with you on a couple of those things. Mm-hmm. I think the bench is that score and that shooter off the bench would certainly be nice. B-Rob, what are your thoughts about kind of some of the weaknesses that you see when you think of the Celtics?
Brad Wanamaker doesn't do it for you guys?
Brad Wanamaker. Look, here's another thing that I've said forever. When it comes to point guards with the Celtics and this Brad Stevens system, it seems like forever, no matter who you put in that role, going back to when, even before Isaiah Thomas got here, Jordan Crawford, you know, was the player of the week in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
And you flipped him to Golden State for, what, 2 second-round picks? He actually got assets from one of the better franchises in all of that basketball because of the way he made him play. Every point guard has success under Stevens.
Okay.
Except Brad Wanamaker seems to be the one outlier to all of that. Great on the free throw line, though.
Yeah.
Right? Great on the free throw line.
Yep.
But B-Rob, your thoughts overall?
Yeah, he looked good last night. It's Brad Wanamaker is Brad Wanamaker, so you don't want to have him in big roles. But I think, guys, Leroy, I agree if your concerns about the bench, like, that's clearly the biggest question mark all year.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I think we saw probably the answer from Brad Stevens at that point. He didn't have to use the bench much. Like, you saw last night, I thought that was like a kind of a test run for the playoff rotation,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, Kemba was pretty close to full minutes. There were longer stints on the floor. Three of your best five players were on the floor at all times there. And so that means you only played three guys off the bench, and one of those guys was Marcus Smart. So, you know, you don't have to worry about Semi Ojeleye hitting jump shots or, you know, Kander Stevens. I think Rob Williams here, I mean, you guys touched on a little bit too. That's a huge development. If he can, can play defense like that and kind of keep his, discipline in terms of not jumping on pump fakes and things like that, that's huge because he gives you what Kander does on the offensive end of the floor anyway, and then you don't have to worry about the liability, and you can just hide him with the starters and get easy points out of it.
Mm. Well, I mean, it's funny. You said if he could stay disciplined. Again, it just makes me wonder how come last night against a very good team, overall, the team in general showed discipline. They showed that they can play team ball. I just want to see it every single night. It doesn't have to be on that level that it was last night, but just give me something. Don't disappear on me.
Yeah.
I hate that.
No, it's a fair point. Look, and hopefully you're going to see that with the Magic. Look, technically, mathematically, you're still in it for the 2 seed. Yeah. I don't think that that's realistic, and I don't think that that's going to happen, B-Rob, but yeah. it's still there. And I would like to see him finish strong here and head into the postseason. When you look at the ceiling of this team, though, and we talked about this a little bit in the first segment, B-Rob, where do you have this team, and where do you think kind of their ceiling is when it comes to a playoff run?
Eastern Conference Finals, still at this point. I want to see more consistency, like Leroy's talked about, just to go through here. This was a good test, but we saw their downfalls against Milwaukee and Miami in those games. So, and I think Brad Stevens kind of alluded to that too behind the game. Like, he was just like, this game is going to be nothing in 2 weeks. And, as recently as Wednesday night, like, I was worried about what we had. So if they finish out stronger here, maybe that turns. And I still think they can pull off the upset, but the odds are, still against them. And last night's game doesn't change that.
That's fair. I still think last night was incredibly impressive from this team. I mean, I really thought that was going to be a measuring stick game for the Celtics. Mm. And I think that they passed with flying colors. And I think it shows you, as good as Toronto is, and we was talking about this with B-Rob last week when we were on, it kind of reminds me of the Celtics pre, all the free agency and kind of those Isaiah Thomas teams where it's, they're really good and they have a lot of good players that know how to play basketball and they fit together really well, like Jay Crowder.
Ball.
Exactly. But they don't have those upper echelon superstars.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Tatum kind of is that. Kemba Walker kind of is that. And when you've got Gordon Hayward playing the way he is, look, he got a max contract for a reason.
Yep.
And is he the player he was in Utah? No, probably not. But he's a high-end player. And I don't necessarily know if the Raptors have that. I know Lowry's a 6-time All-Star, but I don't put him necessarily in that upper echelon. Give him the ball at the end of the game.
Right,
and you
take
have,
over.
And you have confidence he's going to get you a basket the way Tatum does.
Right.
And so if you're the Celtics and you have those closers, because we've saw, as good as those Isaiah Thomas teams were, they didn't necessarily have that. And, now that you have a Tatum, I just think that elevates you in the postseason. And that type of ability to score the basketball is really highlighted in the postseason. Mm-hmm. It's a strength now for the Celtics in a way that the Raptors don't necessarily have now that Kawhi Leonard's not there.
And what's even better, because you mentioned this play in the beginning, it's not just Tatum now.
Yeah.
Now you got Jaylen Brown as another option. I mean, also, like, you know, with Kemba and with Gordon Hayward. But, yeah, they have all these options. What I would like to see from here on out is looking back after the game last night and seeing that the scoring was pretty even. No one pretty much, what, Jaylen Brown had 20? You know, but you saw that it was just evenly distributed. And I love that. If we can keep that going, then maybe I can see the Celtics going into the finals. But I'm with, you know, everybody else. Eastern Conference as of right now, and we'll see what happens from there.
Yeah, you're right. Jaylen Brown, 20 points. Kemba Walker, 17. Jason Tatum, 18. Tice, 11.
Beautiful.
Gordon Hayward, 9 points. 31 minutes. 4-7 from the field. And again, I just thought he was really aggressive. He does a lot of different things for you. He still had 9 rebounds.
Yep.
Just active. And I think that, you know, seeing the way that he's played since they've returned to this bubble gives me hope that, you know, because again, if all three of those wings are playing really well and aggressive, that's a dynamic that not a lot of teams in the NBA can match up with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, last night you also got stuff off the bench from Wanamaker, had 15, Robert Williams, 10, Semi had 11.
Right.
So, like, yeah, you're threes. Right. In terms of, like, just it being spread out yes. and not necessarily one guy. And, look, you know, we've said in the past, maybe they don't have that big three that you're used to seeing in the NBA, but they might have
well, they're close.
The deepest starting five
yeah.
in the NBA when you talk from a talent perspective. That was highlighted last night. As well. All right, it's Gasper Murray, Tim McCone in with Leroy Irvin. We're going to get to some of your phone calls next. Take those, and also want to switch to Patriots, too, because I want to get yeah. to some of this Cam Newton stuff with you as well on the other side. It's 617-779-0985.
Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back here, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Tim McCone, Leroy Irvin in for Gasper and Murray on this Saturday morning. I'll tell you what, fantastic chemistry between the two of us for guys that met 5 minutes before this show started. I'll
right.
say that.
And it was a little bit scary because before we came in, the crew that was in here before didn't even know.
Yeah. Gasper and Murray or... So it doesn't look like Gasper Murray.
I told
there,
you, man. I could tell the vibes were good. You're yeah. good peoples. I'm good peoples. It was going to work out.
All right, 617-779-0985. Start of the day talking Celtics. Want to get to some of your calls, and let's do that now. Let's go to Max in the truck. Max, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
So I think watching the Celtics game last night, everybody was contributing. I think Brad Stevens needs to play Robert Williams coming off the bench more. I think he had a huge impact. I think, honestly, I think the Celtics are going to go all the way to the NBA Finals. If they keep on playing like they did last night, I think they have a really good shot at going to the NBA Finals. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Have a good afternoon.
All right, thanks for the call, Max. If they play like last night, I think they have a really good shot at winning the championship, I'll be honest with you.
There you go.
No, look, when you look at the ceiling of this team, like I said, I think they have that high-end talent now that, you know, for a lot of years with the Celtics and kind of this whole rebuild with Ainge, it was, you know, kind of the overachieving, really well-coached team. But, you know, when push comes to shove and you really get into that playoff series, mm-hmm. you know, these other teams have those upper echelon go-to guys, and they just had, you know, a really good roster that fit well together and was really well-coached. And now I look at this team and, you know, a lot of these pieces fit really well together. And there's also upper echelon talent, you know, mm-hmm. and there's guys that can go out and get that really tough basket in a Jason Tatum. So, yeah, I think, you know, the ceiling is high for the Celtics. And if they play like last night, yeah, I think they're going to be in really good shape.
When they played last night, you know who they look like and who they could be? Is the Eastern Conference version of the Golden State Warriors when the Golden State Warriors were on fire before the injuries and stuff. Just constant movement, great defense. They really don't have great bigs, but they get the job done. They can do it. It's just they got to do it night in and night out.
Yeah.
Last night was a great example of it. We'll see if they'll keep doing it.
Yeah. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Again, 617-779-0985. I have a whole Celtics hour coming up starting at 12 o'clock. So I wanted to switch gears a little bit here and just get your thoughts on the Patriots and the QB situation. Cam Newton, Jared Stidham, Brian Hoyer, all three of those guys meeting with the media yesterday at Gillette and over Zoom. And the theme of the day was, it's actually a quarterback competition. It's not Cam's team. We're going to have a quarterback competition. So I ask you, Leroy, is it actually a QB competition?
No, stop playing. Would y'all stop? Every time I have this conversation, it makes me laugh. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? Cam Newton, a former MVP, a guy who went to the Super Bowl, led his team to the Super Bowl, is in competition with Hoyer and Stidham? You know, I used to think Boston fans, and you know, in general, Boston, we were like the mecca of sports. And we were supposedly the smartest sports fans out there in the world. Now I don't know, because it's like you got half the folks saying, well, Cam doesn't, he shouldn't be, it should be Stidham. He hasn't even played a full game as a starter and people are saying Stidham's the guy. No, this isn't a competition. It's just being said nicely, you know, for us and the media and for the people. Yeah, it's an honest competition. No, it's not. It's Cam's unless Cam acts up. That's it.
So I'm with you. I think this is Cam's job to lose, and I think the only way, honestly, he's going to lose this thing is if he's not 100% healthy.
There you go.
Right? And I think that there might be some question marks, you know, not only with Cam himself, but also with the team in terms of how healthy he actually is. Mm. And I think that's going to play out. And I think one of the things that sucks about, on top of many things about the pandemic, is that we're not going to be able to watch camp the way we normally do and kind of see the way that he looks, right? And normally you'd be up close and personal and really get to see, you know, does he look 100%? Mm-hmm. Are he making those throws? Is he on the same page in terms of the offense? But yeah, I'm with you. Look, I know Stidham, you know, seemed like it was going to be his team before they signed Cam Newton, but ultimately you're bringing in a guy here that was the MVP back in 2015, right, brought his team to the Super Bowl. And if he's 100% healthy, man, look, I think one of the strengths of the Patriots over the years has been they put players in a position to be successful.
That's right.
And it's not one of those teams where we do what we do and you have to beat us. So if Cam comes in, you're going to do exactly what Brady did. And if you don't, then whatever, we'll move on. No, it's going to be McDaniels and Belichick changing this offense to play to Cam's strengths. Mm-hmm. And I think there's going to be a dynamic this year that you haven't seen before from the Patriots. And I think that the coaching staff is probably pretty excited. They get to roll out some new things and try some stuff with a quarterback that is an athletic freak.
Yes.
Right? You know, Brady's an athletic freak because he's 43 and still playing at a high level. Cam's an athletic freak because he's a monster, can run, and just do some things that we haven't seen a Patriots quarterback do before.
Right, and I think if you ask Stidham, if you were to ask Hoyer, who's most likely to be – no, who is going to be the starting quarterback come week one, they both say Cam. I mean, really. And it's just crazy to me that this has actually become a conversation and there are people out there who believe Cam shouldn't be the quarterback. Y'all are crazy. You done lost your minds.
617-779-0985. I'm with you on that. I think if Cam Newton is healthy, he's the guy for this team. And again, you know, I just think that it's naive to think that, oh, well, you know, he's not going to know the playbook, or he's not going to look. I go back to 2016 when Brady was suspended. They roll out Garoppolo for the first game and a half against the Dolphins. They do some different things there than they did with Brady. They did some different things with Castle back in 2008. And then when Brissett comes in, you know, at the time, Brissett, as a rookie, you know, you watch him in practice, man, he couldn't hit a brick wall.
That's right.
So, again, they changed the offense. They played to the strengths of the defense, special teams, and they put Brissett in a position to be successful.
Yep.
And so I think when you look at Cam Newton, it's going to be a similar situation there where they're going to put him in a position to be successful and not ask him to do the things that Brady did.
They asked him yesterday about his conversation with Edelman, saying that the offense was calculus. And he answered, I thought was great, is like, look, football is football. Now, with that being said, it doesn't mean that there won't be a, you know, curve when it comes to trying to learn the system. And, of course, like you said, Josh, Belichick, they will cater things towards him and his talents. But at the end of the day, he is a professional, and he seems very hungry. So if he's hungry, I expect Cam to get in there, study, do what he has to do, and be the starting quarterback. Like, cut it out, y'all. I'm still frustrated by that.
Here's the one thing I worry about, and we'll get to this on the other side. Mm-hmm. You know, Phil Perry asked him yesterday in the press conference, how do you feel? You know, or you feel 100%. And he ended it with saying, I feel amazing. I feel ready to go. It was how he started to answer that question that made me a little nervous. And that might be one of the reasons here why the theme is there's a quarterback competition. Because I got to be honest, usually when they bring in big names, mm-hmm. you know, I know it's you earn it. But I don't necessarily remember people saying, oh, look, Darrell Revis needs to beat out Kyle Arrington to be that starting corner.
Right.
Antonio Brown was here, and 3 days later, he's, you know, starting wide receiver, gets three catches on that first drive. Mm-hmm. They put him right in the mix. And so I think there is a little bit of hesitation. I think there's some hesitation on Cam's part and also the Patriots. I want to get to that on the other side. It's Gasper and Murray. It's McCone and Leroy Irvin in for the guys. The freshman team in for the varsity on this.
We're doing pretty good.
All right, maybe JV. Maybe JV. 617-779-0985. We'll finish this up. Finish up this conversation and get to some of your calls on the other side right here on 98.5 The Sports Up.
Stay tuned for more Gasper. This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5 The Sports Up.
I really can't remember. But I was just blown away by just the whole overall professionalism of just the Patriots organization, starting with Robert Kraft, with Coach Belichick, as well as, you know, eventually speaking with Coach Josh. You know, I do know I was in L.A. It kind of caught me by surprise. At the same time, you know, I enjoyed this whole process.
All right, there he is, Cam Newton, your new starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. There you go.
Stop it.
Gasper, Murray, Tim McCone, and Leroy Irvin in for the guys on this Saturday. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. So, again, you know, just talking about Cam Newton and the situation, and obviously the theme yesterday was this is a competition. Mm-hmm. It's not just Cam's job. And a part of me wonders why they're doing that, right? And so, you know, listening to Cam Newton – you know, certainly has the swagger of a guy that obviously is former number one pick, led his team to a national championship, you know, all the pedigree in the world, and so rightfully does have that swagger. So what's kind of the question mark? And I think a lot of that is health. And he was asked a couple different times about where he's at yesterday with his health. And I thought this answer from Cam was pretty interesting. It's Phil Perry asking him how he feels coming into camp and if he's ready to go. Here you go.
I wanted to ask you, because you did mention in your roundtable, hey, you know, my film maybe the last couple of years wasn't exactly what I wanted it to look like, but we all know that you were playing through some things. I'm just wondering how you're feeling physically right now, and if you are where you'd like to be, if there's an excitement level associated with that because you haven't maybe been 100% in a while.
Well, just right now, for me, the season's not here yet, you know, so I do still have time and, you know, working with the training staff here and as well as, you know, having all the outlets, you know, at your disposal to get better and to, you know, be as confident as be, you know, come opening day or when the team may need you, you know, I think that's the most important thing. You know, as far as how I feel right now, I feel amazing. Feel great, probably not any different than any other person that's in that locker room right now. So I'm extremely optimistic about that. But yet through it all, you know, it's just, you know, putting yourself in the position to be in the best shape and have your body in the best possible situation, you know, when you actually need it.
All right. So it feels amazing. I get it. Maybe I'm reading too much into this, but the start of it, if you really feel good, I don't answer, hey, how you feeling with, hey, you know, I do still have some time here before opening day to get going, right? And so that kind of gives me pause, and I wonder if part of the reason that they're really pushing this competition thing is because, you know, if he's not 100% and he's just not the same player he was, and let's say the shoulder or the ankle just aren't ready to go, you know, if Stidham happens to win this job, I think they want him to be in a position where he feels like, hey, you know what? I won the job, and it wasn't necessarily because, you know, Cam wasn't 100%. Mm-hmm. So from a confidence perspective,
okay,
Stidham is going to be in a much better place. Because I'll say this,
if Stidham winds up getting this job, I don't think Cam Newton's going to be here. Like, Cam Newton's not going to stick around in New England and be the backup for Jarrett Stidham, right?
Yeah, you're making me laugh. It's too early in the morning to be laughing if I know, Stidham gets to
look, I don't think Stidham's going to have it if Cam's healthy. But if Cam's not healthy, you know, and Stidham ends up winning this job, I think that means that Stidham and Hoyer are probably going to be the quarterbacks. Because, again, you're not going to – just from a locker room perspective, I don't think it's going to play well if you have Cam Newton as your backup for Stidham. I don't think that that's going to work. So I wonder if part of the reason why they're pushing this is because we're not really sure exactly where health-wise Cam Newton is, and it also kind of explains, you know, one of the reasons why Cam was out in free agency for so long.
I didn't hear that in that clip.
Okay.
This what I heard, if you go, like, fast forward through it, at one point he talks about being confident on opening week.
Yep.
I think it's simply a situation where you don't know how healthy you are until you get hit.
Yes.
And that's in his mind. I think he's honest when he says he feels 100% ready to go right now.
Yep.
But just like anything, like I may have phenomenal footwork when it comes to basketball in my driveway. It's great. I'm great. But then somebody's got to play defense on me. We don't know how I'm going to react once we go and play some real contact sports. And I think for him, with his ankle, with his shoulder, it's more so, will after I get hit a few times, will the confidence still be there? That's what I heard. That's just me.
Well, so, I mean, if that is a concern then, though, right? Like, if you're not, if you're not 100% sure how it's going to react, then I don't know if it's necessarily a slam dunk, right?
It's a concern, but who wouldn't have that concern after those after an injury like that? You know, like, or any injury. You come, when you're coming back from any sort of injury, you do, you know, you kind of tread lightly. Sorry to go back to the Celtics, but Gordon Hayward, his injury.
Yeah.
We haven't really seen him play confidently until now.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
You know, so it's just, he'll get hit a few times. Hopefully, he'll get back up. He won't feel any pain. And I think he'll personally, I just think he'll be fine. That's all. I just think he's just worried about that contact again.
I will say this. It does highlight the fact, and I think it's one of the many underrated, if there is such a thing when it comes to Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the underrated things about Brady is that he was always there, right? And outside of 2008, with that ACL going down, like, that guy played through everything. And, you know, you kind of take for granted the fact that Brady was always going to play.
Yeah.
It didn't really matter. Like, you go back to the hand thing he had a couple years ago in the postseason. Like, he's going to find a way to get out on the field. And, you know, availability being the best ability was kind of a strength of Brady. And, you know, I don't want to get into it because I'm still bitter that he's not here. And I think it's the Patriots' fault. I don't want to go down road right now. I don't want to unload all my emotional baggage on you right now that Brady's not here. But I just think, again, I think you kind of take for granted the fact that you got a guy at the most important position on the football field that was there week in and week out.
Do you remember the season after Brady came back from the injury?
2009,
Do you remember him ever talking about wanting to feel confident or anything suggesting that? Because I'm pretty sure he did, and if he didn't, I wouldn't be surprised if he felt that way.
Well, I don't think he was necessarily the Brady that we normally saw, but you remember, you go back to 2009, and that's really kind of the one outlier we've had during this Brady-Belichick run where that team kind of fell apart. That was the year that Adelius Thomas, you know, acts out. You had Sean Springs, all those guys, and that kind of lost that locker room.
Albert Hainsworth, was it that
year? No, that Hainsworth was 2011 with Ocho Cinco, but him and Ocho Cinco obviously didn't pan out the way that the Patriots thought they would. Mm-hmm. But, you know, 2009 was the year they do the coach's life, and it's Brady and Belichick on the sideline at the Superdome getting their teeth kicked in by the Saints, who went on to win the Super Bowl, and they're like, I just can't get this team to play the way that we need them to. And, you know, that was kind of the one team that has kind of been the outlier for this whole Patriots run. 617-779-0985. We're going to switch gears here, talk to Celtics. Before we do, I want to sneak in one Cam Newton call because I see it on the board here before we go back to the Celtics with you. So let's go talk to Bernie in Leominster. Bernie, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's
going on?
Awesome. So just to go back on the comment, Cam Newton interview that was interviewed by Phil Perry.
Yep.
It seems to me that answer was a little bit scripted in terms of what he said at first when he was talking about, I still have a couple months to get ready. It seems that just with everything going on this season, to me it seems that Bill has already made up his mind, and it's Cam's job to lose at this point, it seems, just because I think he's been putting in the work. He looks great on the videos he's posted. Stidham, I think, is definitely up and coming, and he very well may be the guy for the future, but I don't know about this season. I think Belichick's got a plan here, so that's kind of the edge I'm hanging on. So I just wanted to see what you guys think about that. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Bernie.
That's an interesting take.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know if I necessarily believe it, but I don't know. He's got me thinking.
Look, I'll say this. I don't think you bring in Cam Newton to be the backup. So, yeah, I think the plan is for Cam Newton to be the starter, and if he's the player that they think he is, he will be the starter, and if he's not, they go with Stidham. I also think, look, Stidham, I know he's been here for a year, but and he's a fourth-round pick. It's a fourth-round pick. This is not like a first-round like blue chip. It's not even Jimmy Garoppolo in the second round. Like we've seen fourth-round picks, third-round picks in Ryan Mallett and Kevin O'Connell not necessarily pan out. Yeah. So, look, we haven't really seen Stidham. We've seen him throw four passes in the NFL. One of them was a pick. So to think this guy's a slam dunker is going to be the starter over Cam Newton.
Over former MVP.
It's probably a bit of a stretch. You're right. Unless Cam Newton is banged up, I think it's Cam's team. I just think it's something to keep an eye on moving forward is Cam Newton 100%. Yeah. But we'll switch back to that. I want to get back to the Celtics now. We're going to step aside, get you caught up on Hub headlines, and when we come back, we will talk Celtics after a big, big win over the Raptors last night. From the Town Fair.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.